For Chasm Radio, I am Farm Director Joe Gill. It is your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on AM 1150. Your report is brought to you each and every week by Mid-Soda Trailer Sales and Service, right off I-94 in Avon. A very busy week, a lot going on locally, statewide, and also on a national level. And well, this week, yeah, today is the final day of National FFA Week. National FFA Week. We hope local chapters and FFAers had a chance to celebrate as it wraps up today.
This is National FFA Week, and FFA students across the country are celebrating. I'm National FFA Southern Region Vice President T. Wayne Williams from Tennessee. Many special and safe activities are happening in FFA communities this week, but all year long, FFA members experience education, leadership, service, and personal and professional development as FFA feeds our intellectual growth and curiosity. Celebrate with us and share your FFA stories during hashtag FFA Week.
Yes, indeed. A lot going on. You bet, a lot going on this week with FFA, so hope it all went well for everybody. You bet. Some other news, let's see here. Yeah, Commodity Classic going on this week as well. And also some news from the cattle side of things in waters of the U.S. So Mary Thomas Hart, the Chief Counsel for Government Affairs with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, talks about waters of the U.S. and how things have changed right now.
We talked about this during the Biden administration, and we had seen a unanimous Supreme Court decision giving EPA pretty clear direction on how the agency needed to go about interpreting which water features were federally jurisdictional. The Biden administration was reluctant at best to follow that advisement from the Supreme Court. And while we saw the right language put in place, while we saw the regulation, the words on paper be what we wanted, there was a lot of resistance out in the country from staffers who were actually applying those words.
She also talked about where that shift in the discussion, where that did take place.
That's the biggest shift that we've seen in the last year. Not only a revised regulatory definition that kind of tries to further narrow down that jurisdictional definition, but really giving explicit guidance to staff out in the country so that there's a lot less wiggle room. Again, the goal for NCBA, the goal for the cattle industry, is to ensure that every landowner, not just an attorney, not just a hydrologist, not just an engineer, can go out, look at the water features on their property, and at least make a preliminary determination about whether a water feature is going to be subject to federal permitting.
Mary Thomas Hart of NCBA, recently visiting with Jesse Allen and Agriculture of America. Well, let's talk acreage and farmland. USDA, their annual look at farms in the U.S. includes the latest totals and trends regarding farmland and land still residing in agriculture. Rod Bain has more.
The number of farms in the U.S. is down year over year, per USDA's latest count. But what about the total of landed farms in our country? According to National Agricultural Statistics Service Administrator Joseph Parsons,
we see that there are just under 874 million acres in production agriculture. And that includes everything from ranged land to highly cultivated land that we might think of as landed farms. And that's down 2.5 million acres from 2024.
Like total farms, landed farms by sales class decreases in all categories year over year, except for the $1 million or more sales category.
That average farm size across all sales classes, so in total, is about 469 acres, and that's up 3 acres from 2024. That represents a lot of very small farms and also some larger farms in the mix as well. So the average farm size is probably a little different than what you might think of in a Midwest production environment where the farms tend to be quite a bit larger.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Alrighty, Rod, thank you very much. And finally, we head up north to Canada. Fellow farm broadcaster Dennis Guy talking about Canada and trade and trust. And that trust between Canada and the U.S., he says, is just about, well, non-visible. He gives us more details from Canada.
In his latest American State of the Union address, most Canadians were relieved that President Trump gave Canada just a passing nod, mentioning the U.S. Olympic hockey team's win over Canada. New data from the Angus Reid Institute shows that a vast majority of Canadians have pretty well had enough of Trump's views on Canada. The latest Angus Reid poll heard from over 1,650 respondents, with just 21% of Canadians holding a favorable view of the United States under President Trump. And only about 22% said they view Canada's closest neighbor as a reliable trading partner or as a friendly ally. That poll also found that close to 70% believe Canadian negotiators should take a hard line on all upcoming trade negotiations, and that any completed deal involving the U.S. should be treated with a certain amount of caution. Eric Grenier is an independent public polls analyst based in Ottawa who works with both private and public clients.
69% of Canadians say that we should take a harder approach when it comes to our negotiations with the United States. It's pretty clear what's been causing it. It's Donald Trump and the entire government apparatus that is taking its cue from Trump. It's impacting Canadians' views of how much they can trust the United States to be a good trading partner in the future. A lot of Canadians do think that things will get better, but they'll never get back to where they were.
Comments made by the U.S. Trade Representative, Jamieson Greer, immediately after the State of the Union address only served to amplify results of that Angus Reid poll. Speaking to a Canadian journalist right after Trump's address in Washington, Greer said that Canada must become an active participant in the America First trade agenda, and that Canada must be willing to accept an ongoing American tariff agenda just like every other country that trades with the U.S.
We're focused on having an America First trade policy. If Canada wants to come in and participate in this type of reshoring we're trying to do, we're happy to have those discussions. We go to other countries and we make a deal with them. The other countries, they agree that we can have a tariff on them and they open their markets to us. If Canada wants to agree that we can have some level of higher tariff on them, open up their markets to us, that's a helpful conversation.
Just last week, the Trump administration imposed a worldwide 10% tariff under a never-before-used law known as Section 122, immediately after the U.S. Supreme Court's rejection of Trump's broad-based tariffs. However, this action can only stand for 150 days without further approval from Congress. But Canadian negotiators are looking ahead. Arlene Dickinson has a seat on the Prime Minister's Council of Canada-U.S. Relations. Dickinson says that Jamieson Greer's comments were about as plain-spoken as she's heard from the American administration so far.
He was very clear that any deal with Canada is going to involve tariffs. That's the position that they're taking. This is a zero-sum game, that when America wins, somebody has to lose. We have to get more on the offense and less on the defense.
Reporting from Canada, I'm Dennis Guy.
All right, Dennis, sure appreciate it. That is your Central Minnesota Farm Report, brought to you by Midsota Trailer Sales and Service. I'm Joe Gill. Have a good weekend.